From the many realms of Azeroth to the great dark beyond via the magic of podcasting, this is episode 63 of The Rolling Restart, a World of Warcraft podcast for all of us. Hello there, I'm Brian Black, otherwise known as Ro, and my guest co-host today is here to prove that the first, second, and third time's a charm. She's a cutting-edge mythic raiding unicorn from Down Under that was blessed by Thor for her birthday with hundreds of balloons and the magic that is known as Beat Saber. She's had Australia's biggest morning tea recently, and that just makes me wonder what Australia's smallest evening tea is. From the Battle-Tagged podcast and the World of Warcraft Classic Beta Test, it's Cinder. Welcome back to the show. How you doing?
Oh my god, your intros are the best. I'm going to steal that first part about being a unicorn from Down Under. I love that. I'm great, Ro. How are you?
I am doing wonderful. It's great to have you back on. It's like, we're still in our second year, so I wouldn't say it's the third annual visit, but I just every once in a while, you know, things come up scheduling-wise and rotation-wise.
And like, it just works.
I haven't had Cinder on. I reach out to you, and it's like, do you want to be on the show? And before I can even complete a sentence, you're like, yes, yes. Have me on.
Of course. How can you say no to Ro? Not a thing. Well, thank you for having
me. You just look at me quite plainly and say, no.
No. I'm not very... And even if I did, it would be like, yeah, nah. It wouldn't even just be a no. Got to do it the Aussie way, you see?
Absolutely. Well, I am really happy to have you on. And of course, there's been a lot of stuff happening in World of Warcraft in a number of different ways. And while I was stalking your Twitter feed to come up with an intro, I did, in fact, notice, and I guess I knew it before, but I didn't really know just how much you were into it, that you did get into the WoW Classic beta test.
I did, yeah. I was extremely fortunate. I had no idea that that was going to happen, and it just randomly showed up in my launcher, and I'm like, holy crap balls, I'm doing it! I'm doing it! So, yeah, it's really good. I'm having a blast in it, and I'm having a blast talking about it as well. Like, I did a little blog post about it last week, just with my initial, like, week and a bit in there, just kind of getting it out of my system more than anything else. And the number of people who have been leaving comments who have just been saying, it's so cool seeing somebody who has not played Classic but is super hyped for Classic as somebody who came on later on. It's great. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to keep doing this then. It's awesome fun. It's so good.
So that is actually a very interesting thing to bring up, that you have that unique perspective. Because I would almost say that of those people that are still playing WoW right now, like playing the normal version of WoW, I wouldn't say this necessarily applies to all of us, but I'd say I wouldn't be surprised if a good majority of people that are playing World of Warcraft right now have been playing since the earliest days of the game. And when I say that, I mean going back to pre-Cataclysm, back during a time when they're familiar with some of the quest lines and the zone design that occurred pre-Cataclysm. For you, however, it's a very different thing. Like, when exactly did you start WoW again?
So I started when Firelands was in full swing. And I was really fortunate because my boyfriend was playing at the time, and he was in a guild who was raiding a pretty high level, like Heroic at the time. They were working their way through it, and they got cutting edge on on Ragnaros and all of that. And then they started bringing in alts and stuff. And so that was my first raiding experience, was going into a random Heroic Firelands run. So hence getting the bug for raiding very early. But that's the stuff that was in full swing. So that was well and truly Azeroth's been destroyed and bad things are happening everywhere. And
there's lava in places
exactly.
Where lava shouldn't be, at least from the perspective of people who've been playing the game for several years.
Yeah. For me, I'm just like, oh, there's lava there. Okay.
Yeah, I can only imagine. I mean, I don't know if you've been to Westfall yet, because if I'm not mistaken, you rolled up a shaman, right?
I did. Yeah, I did.
Okay,
a tauren
one. Haven't been. Right. So you haven't been to Westfall to see that there are no tornadoes there.
No. So I did that on purpose because our guild will our guild on live will be making an alliance guild on Classic just for us to kind of bum around together and that'll be alliance, and I wanted all of that to be really new and fresh because all the experiences that I've been having even just on the Horde side have just been like, oh wow, look, that's different, isn't it? Like, that's not how that's supposed to be, and you know, little moments of surprise. And I'm really looking forward to having those same moments of surprise with on the Alliance side with my guild, because, you know, group surprises are really good too.
So for me, I've never really played the Classic questing experience on Horde side. I mean, I've heard of a few little things here and there. I've heard about the wonder that was Baron's chat. I've heard about people searching for Mancrick's wife.
Yep, that was happening.
That stuff. For you so far, what has been the most interesting experience playing the beta, as far as like encountering something that you've just never seen before since you were playing during Cataclysm?
Look, I wouldn't say that there's anything that's completely unexpected, because it is still Warcraft and the fundamentals of it all are still the same. You are an adventurer and you're going out and you're doing quests and doing things, and that remains the same no matter how the game changes and whatnot. But what I did notice, aside from all of the running around, was I'm really reluctant to say this too, because it's always one of the gripes of this is why Classic is better than live. But but there really was this really great sense of community and helping each other out, even in this just small testing space. I got tragically lost. I have the worst sense of direction at the best of times, right? So I really rely on quests being marked on maps and just kind of following where the colored in area is to go do a quest. And none of that exists in Classic. So it kind of terrifies me in a way, but I also secretly love it. So I was trying to do a quest to get shaman totems, which, because, you know, you've got to get your totems as a shaman now, which I also really loved. Anyway, and I couldn't find the cave. There was this cave I had to find, and I swear that I had just been all over the whole zone trying to find this thing. And I eventually, like, I was really scared to ask for help because I'm like, I don't want everyone to know how obvious it is that I've got no idea what I'm doing and I've never been here and I'm not, like, an original Classic player. I genuinely felt like this noob, and I'm like, I've been here for over an hour trying to find this cave. I have to suck it up. And so I did, and I just typed in general. I'm like, I'm trying to find this cave. Can anyone help me, please? And this person was amazing. They grouped up with me, and they're like, I'm actually here right now. And they stayed in that cave for the 15, because it took me 15 minutes to run there from where I was to get there, because everything's super slow and far away and there's rocks in the way. And yeah, they stayed there until I got there. They didn't have to do anything there. They literally just sat there and waited for me. And I'm like, thank you so much. I'm like, it's all good. See ya. Have a great day. Like, what is this? This is just so lovely. It was just, and I don't want to say, because that does exist in live as well, but I guess I just didn't expect to see and experience that so strongly so soon. It was, well, I don't know, filled my heart with happiness.
Yeah, I mean, that's an awesome experience. And, you know, you're right. That does exist in live to a degree, but I feel like because there's all of these quality of life changes that they've made with quest tracking, you know, just map UI and all that stuff, you don't get into that trouble anywhere near as often now than you would back in the days of Classic. So there's less opportunity for you to feel the need to ask for help in that way.
Well, I think there's also this element of when you do ask for that in live now, because there is so much help and support out there, it's like, go look it up on Wowhead, dude. How crap are you?
Right.
Which I've actively been not doing on Classic. I've been actively staying as blind as I possibly can for the most authentic experience. And it's wonderful. But yeah, I think that's a big difference, because there's so much support now. The expectation is you go seek that out yourself instead of asking other people for help.
How high level have you gone to? I think there's a level cap of 30 on the beta right now.
Yeah, there is. I'm only at about 13. I had to go away for work this week, so I haven't actually been in for about a week now. But yeah, only about 13. And so the trouble that I have now is that I've lost the thread of story, because there's, you know, there's, again, there's no help and you're just kind of figuring things out. And so yeah, I kind of dropped the thread a little bit, and I've kind of rolled with that, and I've gone, well, okay, it's not gone. I don't know where I'm supposed to be right now, so I'm just going to go wherever the bloody hell I want. And so I decided to go to Undercity and go explore around there. And the other moment that I was going to share that really was something that I hadn't really had in life before was I was running along the path, just kind of, you know, bumming around and seeing what's what and marveling at how different everything looked. And this was coming out of Undercity and towards Silverpine. Mm-hmm. And I'm just doing my thing. And then I look over in the distance and I see kind of like this sparkly stuff going on. And I'm like, oh, somebody's doing magic over there. I'm going to go see what that is. I don't know what that is. And I tried to get there and I died because everything wants to kill me. But eventually I'm like, oh my God, that is Dalaran in a bubble on the ground. Oh my God, that is Dalaran on the ground. And it's something that I'd never seen before. And I was determined to get there, and I failed super hard because the mobs were way too high for me. And that was the point that I'd written that blog post. And then when I finished it, I'm like, you know what, done this, I'm going back there. And I swam across that whole lake just so that I could go see Dalaran on the ground. But yeah, it was just this really lovely moment of seeing something in the distance and going, oh, what's over there, and checking it out. And yeah, I don't know, it's bringing back all of the things that I love about games like this, about RPGs, where you've got a whole world around you and you can just go explore. I feel like because I lost the train of the story that I don't feel tied to it. And so I'm like, well, I am just going to go be an adventurer and I'm going to run around and take a million screenshots, but also just see what's out there. And if I come across something that I, you know, that has some quests that I want to do, then I'll go do them. And it doesn't matter. I don't have to raid. I can do whatever I want.
You're on your own time. You know?
That's exactly it.
Yeah, it's interesting that you bring up that quest structure, because I remember, and I've even seen some people make comments about the quest structure in Classic being that it's kind of loosey-goosey. There's not, in a lot of zones, there's not necessarily one overall arcing story thread that's carried throughout the whole zone. Where post-Cataclysm, a lot of the changes that they did with the zones brought it together so that each zone kind of had its own major one or two storylines,
yep.
And it was a chain that you could easily follow. Whereas right now with Classic, quests are kind of set up in a way where that they aren't obvious to find, they're spread out. It kind of reminds me of exploring a world like Skyrim or Fallout for the first time without using any guides, where there's just this big open space. There's obviously areas that look like they're probably hubs, so you go there. But if you go off the beaten path, who knows what you'll run into?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I don't have a problem with that. Like, I think that's the difference, I think, in some people's feelings towards the way all of that is structured. In a way, I feel like it would do everybody really well to treat WoW Classic as almost a completely different game, because in a way it is. Like, it doesn't, you know, those fundamentals are there, great. You're an adventurer, you got quests, you go do them, you're a hero, yay. That's the same. But the way that you go about achieving that and participating in that world is very different in Classic as it is to now. And I feel like if you go into it with that mentality that, yes, this is different, then you're going to be okay. And for me, I'm treating it like a new game. It's a new experience, and some of it feels familiar, but, you know, it's not, and it's different, and it's okay. It's okay that it's different. Run with that, go with that, and make the most of it.
It's funny how there have been a number of times I've said somewhat in jest on the show about the idea of a World of Warcraft 2, you know, a sequel to World of Warcraft that takes place an extreme amount of time in the future so that things are vastly different then than they are right now. And for some people who haven't been playing the game necessarily since the beginning, World of Warcraft Classic is almost like a sequel to WoW, except this is the way things were
a generation ago.
Before the Cataclysm, before the Lich King tried to take over all of Azeroth a second time.
Before
the Legion invaded. And that, in a way, it's that kind of prequel experience. I mean, because I joined halfway into Burning Crusade, it doesn't necessarily feel like that to me, because I've seen a lot of that stuff before pre-Cataclysm. But for anyone who joined Cataclysm and later, Classic might as well be WoW 2.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I guess I hadn't thought about that. And thinking about people like yourself, where, you know, there is that bit of familiarity in there. I can't words right now. It's. I hope that you get the nostalgia then in equal parts that I get amazement. And I know that some people, like, because I've been streaming what I've been doing on Classic as well, and I've had a couple of people come on who have done Classic, and they're like, oh, yeah, that's right, I remember that. Oh, the feels. And I'm like, good, I'm glad that that's what you're getting out of it. Like, I just want people to enjoy it. I just want people to love WoW. Can't everyone just love WoW?
I've kind of given my opinion on Classic several days ago on the Realm Maintenance podcast, where I mentioned that, like, Classic probably isn't going to be for me, although I may prove myself wrong in the future. But at the same time, I don't think of Classic in a negative light whatsoever. I think Classic is not just great for the people who are playing it, but I think it's great even for fans of Warcraft, for people who are playing, you know, just the regular retail game, because extra attention and extra hype about Warcraft in general is only going to be positive for the franchise as a whole.
Absolutely.
So if there are people playing Classic, and if there are people excited and happy about Classic and they're loving it, it's a win-win from my opinion.
Yeah, I completely agree. And look, there's a couple of people in my guild who are like, yep, I'm going to go in and I'm going to check it out, but I don't think I'll stay around long. And I guess that's the thing that I'm a bit curious about is how long is this going to last for? How long will they keep these servers up?
I think they'll keep them up as long as they'll keep the current servers up.
Yeah, because
really,
I hope so.
Once you build it, there's really not necessarily a whole lot that they have to do to maintain it, in my opinion. Like, they're still, look at it this way. Even the games that are no longer in the spotlight for Blizzard are still being played. They're Warcraft 3 is still being played. Diablo 1 and 2 are still being played. So I don't necessarily see them deciding to ever close down the WoW Classic server. If they were to close down WoW Classic servers, it would come at a time where Warcraft altogether was done. And I don't know when that's going to be.
It's going to be never.
I don't think it'll be in our lifetime.
Never. Yeah. Don't make me think about sad things. Yeah, look, and that helps me feel better too, because, I mean, look, in life, I've got obligations because, you know, we do raid and we do try and get cutting edge as best as we can, and we're not top 100 or anything, but, you know, we still want to kill things in a certain period of time, and that has you know, expectations of the amount of time you contribute and what you do in game. So it is, you know, it's pretty involved. And I've been a little bit worried about how much time I'll be able to put into Classic when it does come out, knowing how much I do want to play it. But if it's not going to go away, then that's okay. Like, if it's just going to sit there happily, then I'll, you know, feel okay just jumping in every now and again and taking my time. I really want it to be a nice, slow, chilled exploration experience. So if I've got time, it'll be good.
The way you want to approach Classic kind of reminds me of the way that I'm approaching a non-Blizzard game called Witcher 3. I've not completed this game. I've had The Witcher 3 for literally years now.
Yep.
But every once in a while, I return to it and continue playing it, exploring, advancing the main story. And I play it enough that I remember what's gone before and what's going on right now. Mm-hmm. That's one of those things where, like, I'm just taking my time with it. I'm going at my own pace and enjoying it when I feel like I want to take a trip to that world.
Yeah, and that to me, it's a really lovely feeling. There's a bit of a weird thing in among gamers that, you know, there's a right way to play games. And I'm like, there's not, though. The only right way is that you're doing what you enjoy and you're doing it how you enjoy it, enjoying it. And if you want to take your time and do things slowly, that's great. If you want to go sit on the side of a stream and fish for 4 hours in WoW, great, do that too. That's not wrong. That's weird to me because I don't like fishing. But if that's what makes you happy, you go for it, mate. That's the only right way, the only right thing about gaming.
Well, speaking of different ways to play the game, you mentioned that you've been working on Cutting Edge, and actually not long ago, you and your raid team downed Jaina. Or I guess you didn't down Jaina. You scared her off. You made her run away.
We did make her run away, yes.
See, I feel that, oh my gosh, before I go into what I wanted to talk about, I just need to make this comment, like, you know, mythic versions of raid encounters, of final bosses, should have, like, something. It feels like they've had a history of having an extra phase to them, something special. And I don't know if there's exactly an extra phase to the Jaina encounter, but I feel like you should have at least had the opportunity to, instead of making her teleport, do something to stop her from teleporting and grievously wounding her. Maybe not killing her.
Oh, no. See, as an alliance, I'm really glad that we didn't have to do that. I was really conflicted. The whole last three bosses, you know, turning into Horde and, you know, hurting Mechatalk and Jaina, I'm just like, I'm so sorry, guys. Please, please don't hate me. It was really awful feeling. But yeah, look, in some ways, it's really good, and in like having those extra things, and in other ways, it's not, because sometimes it just lengthens the fight. But yeah, I don't know. It does, and I also kind of feel bad for the things that happen that, like in a mythic fight, the things that happen that kind of contribute a little bit to the story as well that nobody else then gets to see. So. Yeah. I don't like that. I don't want that to happen, but I'm all for, you know, if they want to chuck in other stuff, fine. If they, you know.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that, because the FURT raid team just the other night was going through Mythic Nighthold just to get some transmog guild. And right now we're taking it easy until 8.2 launches.
Yep.
And we went through Mythic Nighthold and we got to the Gul'dan fight, and none of us had ever done it on Mythic before.
Yeah.
And we had all forgotten that there's something else that happens after.
There is. Yeah. That's it. That's exactly it. And it's like, and when you do that, right, the story in that bit actually makes a hell of a lot more sense than not having that. And that, you know, that's fine. But I don't like it when it contributes to the story. I'm happy for it to be like a fun, hey, you're in a harder version of the fight, so here's this special little thing that you have to do. But as long as it doesn't have to make the story make more sense, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I can understand that. I think it's a neat gimmick. It's probably one that needs to be used sparingly and carefully. And I also get that story perspective thing, because then people who feel like that they've been playing a majority of the content, they feel like they're playing WoW, yet they get to miss out on that lore opportunity just because they aren't mythic raiders. That
exactly
can have a negative feeling to it. And actually, speaking of negative feelings, you brought up something that I didn't even really think about until just now. And with Jaina leaving at 5%, now I think I realize why they didn't let us kill off Jaina or even kill off Mechatork. Because if you are someone who has so much, I mean, as much faction pride as, like, Thist, who, you know, is big on the Horde and stuff like that, Rostakhan, although the trolls were like becoming, the Xandalar trolls were becoming allies of the Horde, Rostakhan dying didn't seem like that big a deal because the Zandalari trolls were former enemies about to become allies of the Horde. So finishing him off doesn't seem like a big deal. But if you're an Alliance player, if you've been playing nothing but Alliance characters, and then you are being asked to play a Horde character and kill off one of your prime lore characters, as a player, I might be a bit irritated about
that. Yeah, look. Yes. Yeah. And look, I mean, I have played Horde for a little while, but Horde's not my thing, and that's fine. But I feel like it was kind of okay to kill Rastakhan because of what he did, which, because I have a Horde character that I'll use to experience the Horde side, because, you know, I'm all about the story and I want to know what's going on. And, you know, there were things that happened on the Horde side, especially with him, that I just went, dude, you didn't! Oh my God, what's wrong with you? And so in a way, when, as an Alliance, I turned around and got to kill him, I'm like, yeah, look, you're a bit stupid, mate. And I don't know if that's how the Horde feel about it as well, but I didn't like having to wail on Mechatalk, and I definitely didn't like having to wail on Jaina. I'm like, the poor woman's been through enough. Can we just not?
Well, and BFA is about it, for at least from the Alliance perspective, a big portion of BFA is about Jaina ridding herself of her inner demons, of like trying to free herself from the shackles of the past and the consequences of the past. And if you were to do all of that, and then kill her off a patch later.
That not happy.
You would have people petitioning like Game of Thrones. You'd have a million people saying, I want a new expansion.
Try again. Ba-bum. Look, I imagine that there would be a good reason for it. I wouldn't be happy about it. I'd be sure. Pretty gutted.
All right. Well, now that I've gone on that tangent, to bring us back to rating, Mythic rating, there's a question that I want to ask you that's been weighing on my mind, and I've had a couple people say this that have done it before, but I need to ask you. Stormwall Blockade.
Yes.
Is Mythic and Heroic Stormwall Blockade honestly easier than normal, in your opinion?
Oh, yeah. Look, yeah. Because being able to control who picks up that orb thing on the last platform is a bucket load easier. Like, you have full control over the fight. That part of it, yes, it definitely does make it easier. It's trickier, though, obviously, that everything hits a whole lot more. And having – so on Mythic, you have the sirens that you have on the boats and the electric – voltaic flash lines that's on the other boat, they're actually on the main platform as well. And so dealing with that plus all the other stuff at the same time, that's way harder. But I would say that Heroic at least is easier than normal.
All right. Well, I agree. Just another person to add on to the list. I really got to wonder what the deal was with that fight. Mm. That fight, I wouldn't say it almost destroyed our raid team, but I feel like that fight kind of took the wind out of the sails of a lot of us, and it fatigued us a lot. And it's part of the reason why we're taking things easy right now before 8.2. Because that, I mean, Jaina was challenging, but I think it took us half as many attempts on Jaina than it did with Blockade.
Yeah. And look, that's fair. And as a side note, I think it's sensible that that's the approach that you guys are taking, because forcing people to just keep doing it while they're feeling miserable, that is how teams get destroyed. And there's no sense in doing that. You're supposed to have fun. And if you're not, then don't do it. I think that it is interesting, and maybe it was something that was thought of as being less coordination required within the team. Because, I mean, that's usually what it comes down to, right? Like, the more difficult fights are the ones that are the higher level ones going into Mythic are the ones that require a lot more coordination and planning to execute. And so having to figure out who the right person would be to pick up that orb to deal with those mechanics, in theory, is probably considered to be the more difficult thing, because it requires communication and people being responsible and doing all of that. But having that automated and having that like randomly going on somebody, I feel is more difficult. And yeah, look, I don't know what they were. I don't know what they were thinking. Yeah. I think they were thinking automation makes it easier, planning makes it harder, but didn't actually realize the consequences of that on that particular fight.
Yeah, I mean, there's the RNG that's involved means that you don't have to put the responsibility on one person, but I almost feel like it's better to put the responsibility on one person in the casual group. Because mm-hmm. usually in a casual group, you're going to have kind of a range of skill levels. So, you know, you go for your most competent, your most skilled players. And with the stuff that requires a degree of execution, you say, okay, you're going to be doing this thing. Kind of like a great example, Siegecraft or Black Fuse, right? Mm. You would send specific people onto the conveyor belt to handle that part of the job.
Yes.
I was part of Team Flex Mode. Ben and John and I, we would go onto the conveyor belt and we would take care of the robots and the bombs and the lasers and stuff like that. And before we pull Siegecraft or Black Fuse, we always do the slash flex because that's what Team Flex Mode does.
Perfect. That's perfect. I was always so grateful that I never had to do that, by the way. I was terrified of those conveyor belts. I'm like, please don't make me have to do that. No. Look, it's a very tricky thing for them to have to balance, I think. And I guess, look, I'm just glad that I don't have to do it. And there's so many times like, for example, on Mythic Conclave, the one where you've got the multiple mobs and they've got the lower spirits coming out and doing things. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that one on Mythic is my least favorite fight out of all of them. There's an ability that goes out, like that makes it so that people get a debuff on them and they can't get healed. And so you've got to dispel it at some point in time, but it just jumps and then more get added out. And so you just get this raid filled with this debuff jumping around the place. That debuff can't be dispelled by just anyone. It has to be specific people. And one of those people is Aresto Shaman. So it was my job to manage that jumping around. And it's just that whole fight is just me going, dispel this person, dispel that person. Oh my God, it's on the tanks. Get it off the tanks. Like it's
and
just-
let me guess. Half the time when the group would wipe, the reason would be, why didn't get a dispel?
No, thankfully everybody understood. I think because I sounded really quite frantic, we'd have to get mages and druids could do it as well. We just don't have a lot of druids. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think me sounding as maniacal as I do when I'm doing it kind of makes people feel like I'm not going to say that was my fault either that was Cinder's fault because she's scary sounding right now. So. Yeah.
Well, you know, you're one of the few like high-end raiders that I get to have on the show. And as someone who's been playing mostly normal mode content, I don't really have that experience of what the highest end of raiding is. And I know that normal difficulty raiding has gone through its peaks and valleys, its ups and downs, its changes. There's certain encounters that feel just fine. There are others that feel like they were scaled way too high blocking.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of curious from your point of view as a Mythic Raider, not necessarily on the tier of, you know, method stuff like that, but just as a group that makes it its goal to clear Mythic before the next patch comes out, how do you feel about the difficulty level and the challenge of Mythic? Obviously, you guys are clearing it, but is it just right for you? Is it too stressful, not challenging enough? Just how do you feel about Mythic raiding right now and WoW?
We actually had this conversation a fair bit during Mythic Jaina because especially before the nerfs that came out a few weeks ago, which unfortunately we needed to get it done. We were so gutted. We had like a 1% wipe the week before and we're like, no, we wanted to get it pre-nerfs.
Didn't use their potion, damn it.
Yeah, that's do you know what we're my partner's really, he's all over that. He's like, right, who didn't pre-pot? Who didn't pot during who's not using their cooldowns properly? And that's absolutely fair enough because when you're at that level, you have to do that. We got into this conversation and it happened on Twitter as well. I think Sivation was somebody who brought it up as well. Of what actually makes a fight difficult? Is it just things hitting harder? Is it mechanics that require a lot of communication? And is it RNG? And the trouble with Mythic Jaina was that there was spell queuing things out, issues out the wazoo, right? Like you could never really predict what order abilities were going to come out. So you would have to learn to react immediately to whatever was going to happen. And it was super frustrating and you get some really weird overlaps. But eventually you kind of got used to that. What we couldn't get used to was the RNG mechanic, and it really was its own mechanic in and of itself. So, I can't remember if this mechanic's in normal, but when you go into the big ice platform off mm-hmm. the ship in the frozen sea, there's this thing that comes out called Icefall, and it's got like a white beam, and then like big ice patches would fall out in front of that beam from one end of the area to the other. And I don't
there
know.
There is something like there that is in normal, but I don't think it's excessively punishing.
Yeah. Okay. So that will kill you mm-hmm. In Mythic. There's another mechanic in Mythic as well where you have to have specific numbers of players with you throughout the fight, and that will change depending on where a particular the equivalent of an energy bar is, and that'll go up and down, and so you need to have like one person or three people or five people with you, and that changes, and then everything will go, you'll get this fog phase where you can't see anything around you, you can't target anything around you.
Like when you first go after Jaina and from the train.
Yeah, exactly that. But you all have to stay together. So when that bit happens, you have to have five of you all together. And again, that's fine. We can deal with that. What we couldn't deal with was ice falls that would fall during that phase and you couldn't see where they were. And sometimes they would just land right on your head and you couldn't do anything about it. It was like legitimately there was nothing that you could do, and you could be, you know, 6-7 minutes into a fight that everything is going perfectly, you're doing brilliantly, and then that would happen and that's it, it's a wipe, everybody's frozen and you're stuffed, there's nothing that you can do. That type of difficulty we hated. We're like, this is breaking our spirits a lot, because you know, we're okay with RNG, that's fine, but RNG that has the ability to, that you can't recover from, that you can't respond to, you can't fix.
You have no control over, basically.
That's it. You've got no control over it. You feel useless and you feel like it doesn't matter how good you might be, that's it, you're done for. It doesn't feel good and it's really rubbish. And so
it's
that
like rolling a D20 and getting a one, there's nothing. It's when that one happens, you feel. Now, of course, when you're playing D&D, I mean, you have fun with the thing that you roll the one. But yeah, when that happens in a mythic raid encounter where you're working on progression and you're so close and you're 5% away from killing the boss, and you roll that one, so to speak, that feels bad.
It does. It does. I my personal favorite thing is having abilities that are, they require you to think quickly. Yeah, they're challenging, communication, all of that stuff. I am all for that, and I'm happy for it to take as long as it takes to learn the dance that is that fight. I don't want to learn a dance where, you know, we're dancing to some, I don't know, trance thing, and then Cotton Eye Joe starts playing in the background. Like, it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. And you're just sitting there going, what happened? What happened? So I'm sorry, I don't know where that came from, but anyway.
Oh, I sense a great episode title coming on.
Oh god. But to come back to your original question of how I feel about where difficulty is, I'll also say this: we're not even touching Mythic Crucible. We're not going there until later.
Yeah, because I saw that you were doing heroic.
Yeah, we went in and did heroic just as a, you know, in and out in half an hour kind mm-hmm. of, because some people hadn't done that yet, and that's fine. Everyone wanted their ahead of a curve and that's all good. But yeah, we're not even going to look at Mythic on that until later, because it is extremely difficult. There are, like, you know, we've been watching guilds that are truckloads better than us. You know, we're not fantastic. We're just very persistent. We're watching these teams that are working really, really hard on it, who did very well in Desiralor, who are really, really struggling with that, with those fights. And we're like, we don't want, same as you guys, we don't want to destroy our team by banging our head against something that we don't feel like we would get the enjoyment out of. And for us, we don't think that we would get those fights down.
And those mythic encounters have already received a lot of nerfs, and they're still pretty challenging.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, it looks fantastic, don't get me wrong, but we liken it a lot to Trial of Valor that we had in Legion, although, you know, I'd argue the first two bosses on Mythic in Trial of Valor when they were current were still relatively straightforward. And we did do those at the time, but we didn't get Mythic Hellia for a really long time. We're like, nah, too hard, not doing it, not destroying the guild over a boss. We're just not. So we'll try later. But other than those two instances, other than crazy RNG that you can't control and Mythic Crucible, which, to be honest, we in our guild, we say that as that's the fight for method, in that, like, that level of teams, that's to give them to something to keep doing and working on if they want to, keep them challenged and engaged, and that's fine. Also, totally happy with that. You know, side note is that I am so happy for there to be things in the game that I'm not capable of doing and that are out of my reach because I can't do everything, so fine for that to exist. But other than those two things, I feel like the difficulty of Mythic Desiralor was really quite good, probably a little easier than it could have been. There are some that could have been a little bit more difficult, but overall really good.
So I have a question to toss at you. There's an idea that I've had for some time, and it's how do you make the world first race or the competitive race even more interesting beyond the first couple weeks of the expansion? And my answer to it was, what if Mythic could do Mythic plus raiding encounters?
Yes.
Is that a thing that sounds like your team would be interested in, like to do a plus one Desiralor run or a plus two Desiralor run, or just to do kind of like a timed run where maybe you're not timed against the trash, but timed against the encounters? I don't know. But what do you think of the concept possibly of Mythic plus raiding?
I love that, right? And I hope that it would be timed on trash because that would stop people from bloody AFKing during goddamn trash. Holy crap. I think that's actually a really, really great idea. I don't know how it would be executed, but you're right in that, like, that's what's made dungeons a lot more engaging for the last two expansions now, is that you've got that, these things that, you know, you get to do this a bit differently each time because of the different affixes that exist. And I think that's really helped dungeons to stay relevant. So I think that a system like that, or like a version of that for raiding, would be really fun. I mean, I guess in a way also, and not at all the same thing, but doing like having the achievements that you can have in a raid in a way are a little bit like that, in that you have to do this fight this way in order to win that thing.
Yeah.
But that's I'm so glad we did that achievement run on normal, because we nearly died so many times trying to do some of them. Oh, they were good. Anyway, totally recommend doing that.
I will never do the Lurker Beloa, not during this expansion.
Look,
Ben saw that achievement in the Discord chat. I think Semi put a picture of that there. It's like, this is what the achievement's like for Blockade. And Ben said, nope.
Yeah, look, that one was quite funny. Yes. Yeah. Jaina has a really good one, though, where you've actually literally got to build a snowman, and it's really good.
Oh, really so cute.
It's great. So cute. Yeah, it's good fun. But, you know, similar things, but not the same. And it's not something that you can repeat. We've done that now. We're not going to do it again. Yeah. The thing is that you could also apply that to not mythic difficulty. It's it'd be cool to have an affix like that on a base level difficulty.
I could see that, but then it's interesting because right now I feel like the primary difference between normal and heroic, for the most part, is numbers. Sometimes heroic has one extra mechanic, but usually it's just everything hits harder. I feel like if they were going to do a plus system for each of those difficulties, I don't know if you do that for normal. I can maybe see heroic plus and mythic plus, but normal plus just feels weird.
But what if you just didn't have a difficulty level, and the difficulty level was the pluses.
Oh, so like not have normal heroic or myth,
yeah,
or mythic, but just have the raid and have raiding plus, and
yeah,
when you hit, okay.
I'm thinking about a plus 5 could be a heroic, the heroic equivalent, and then plus 10 could be like a mythic equivalent. And
when you hit different plus levels in mythic dungeons, I think is when you get extra affixes, right?
Yes,
so instead for raiding, when you hit that certain plus, then this mechanic's added on to the boss.
Mm.
Okay.
Mm. Although that's, you're right, like in dungeons, it does start like that. That's built on the mythic zero level. So yeah, you are right that it does build on mythic, but. Yeah, look, I would be all for that because I'm scared of dungeons, right? Dungeons scare me because I don't like healing them. They put too much pressure
Warcraft
on me.
Warcraft is better with friends, especially the other friends that can heal when you're a healer.
That's it. It's like, don't make me do this. I feel like there's too much responsibility on my shoulders. I'm okay DPSing them, though. Chain lightning is just so much fun. But in a raid team, it's a lot more, you know, it's better. There's multiple healers. It's not all my problem. And I think it would be really fun to try, like, it would be a whole other level of complexity of communication, of dealing with these different affixes and stuff. I really love that idea. I think it would be a lot of fun. And it gives, because things like that rotate, like your affixes and stuff can rotate each week, it makes it a lot more engaging for people to watch re-clears as well, because it's not the same fight every time.
And when you get the plus 10, Cotton Eye Joe plays. Plus 1 to plus 9 is Trance, plus 10 is Cotton Eye Joe.
God help us all. Oh, just random hillbillies jumping out in the middle of the fight singing at you. That'd be fantastic. I love it. Yeah, no, I like that idea a lot.
Awesome. Well, one last thing I want to talk about today, and that is, as people are listening to this, it will have been already over, but we're talking right now in the midst of Warlords of Draenor time walking for the very first time in World of Warcraft. People have long waited for the days that they could travel back to one of the most pristine and premier and treasured and then just sought after expansions of the age of Warcraft. That is a golden age, as it were.
A golden age. Uh-huh. Sure, I don't know what Kool-Aid you're drinking.
People were in their garrisons and mining and picking flowers without having to have mining or herbalism and not going anywhere else. One thing I noticed is that Warlords of Draenor does not have a time-walking raid. Now, Mists of Pandaria doesn't have a time-walking raid yet. Cataclysm doesn't have a time-walking raid. But I guess for some reason I thought that when they'd introduce Draenor, that they would put a time-walking raid for it. And I was wrong. I guess we're going to have to wait for that. But my question for you, since we've been talking a lot about raiding, is of the three raids in Warlords of Draenor, because there were only three raids, because Draenor lasted for about 4 months. It's funny, Draenor lasted for 4 months, and then Hellfire Citadel lasted for a year and a half.
It really did.
Of the three raids of Highmaul, Blackrock Foundry, and Hellfire Citadel, which of those three would you want to be the time walking raid?
You're not gonna like me.
You're gonna say Hellfire Citadel.
I am. I really am. Look, I think that firstly, in terms of Desaralor, this is my only gripe with Battle of Desaralor. There's no skips. You can't skip ahead.
Oh, tell me about it.
Right? Please.
Who had to re-clear... Okay, so after we beat Foundry and we eventually beat Jaina, after we beat Foundry, we kept our lockout and worked on Jaina until she was down. Mm-hmm. Then we decided to try to attempt her again. The whole raid did not re-clear up to Jaina. I pugged my way up through Foundry just so that we could get to Jaina one more time, and then we ended up giving up because there just wasn't enough
people participating.
So yes, the lack of skips, I can relate. I understand this.
Well, like, we're in the same boat, right? Because right now we're in the process of re-killing Jaina to give out mounts because it's a guaranteed mount. And Mecha Talk. Anyway.
Red so, yes. for chicken, yellow, purple spring.
Yeah, right. Do you know, as a healer, it is so rare to get put into those things. Mm-hmm. I've been put into them twice now. The first time I buggered it up so bad, I got in so much trouble. It was terrible. But then it happened on our reclear the other night when we finally did get it down. And thank God that my partner he's the main tank in the team. He was sitting beside me and he did all the calls for it. And I'm just like, oh, thank God, please don't make me do anything. This is so stressful. I hate it. Anyway, that's my only gripe with Desiralor, and that is actually one of the selling points in Hellfire Citadel, is because it does actually have a lot of really great skips to get you to progress through that raid however you'd like. So they could potentially break that whole raid down into multiple time walking raids if they want to, the same way that they did for LFR. They could break that one down into multiple. But also... I really enjoyed that raid. It went for way too long, but I actually really enjoyed the bosses in that raid. I thought that they were a really good challenge. They were really interesting. My second choice would be Blackrock Foundry, because you know there's like one skip, and you do have the ability to go in whatever direction you want to, and that's great as well. I don't know. I do like Hellfire Citadel. Sorry.
The odd thing is Hellfire Citadel is my answer too. Here's the thing. My answer would be Blackrock Foundry, except for one encounter. Orgorger.
Really?
Orgorger sucked. it's one of those encounters where I think for people that are, you know, used to doing things on heroic and mythic and stuff like that, the execution and stuff for Orgorger probably isn't that big a deal. But Orgorger is the kind of fight where you really need everyone to stay up and not die. And if anyone executes that wrong and gets run over and such, and then you're down DPS and you don't beat the enrage timer, it's just bad times. So Orgorger was kind of our blockade fight for that raid.
And you know, it's for the same reason. It is exactly the same reason, because as you're saying that, I'm like, you know, when we got into Mythic on that one, it was a lot easier because you would break the group up into specific areas and you knew exactly where you had to stand, where the safe spots were in your little groups. Everyone had their own responsibility, but that was all planned and coordinated beforehand. And that made all of that so much more manageable on Mythic, but the randomness of that on normal adds a layer of again, it comes back to RNG. It adds a layer of complexity that that makes it just sometimes too difficult for a small group. You know, it's interesting. For me, it would have been the second last one. Oh, the one that we always did second last. What was the one? The one downstairs with the furnace.
The furnace was a freaky one too, but at least the furnace felt like controlled chaos. I mean, the furnace, you knew what you had to do. You knew the order you had to do it.
Yeah.
People just needed to stay calm,
At least on do it. Difficult. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So since we're kind of talking about encounters that just feel like they're a little out of tune or out of place. Let's jump a bit here. So Orgorger was kind of a roadblock for Warlords of Draenor for my team. For Battle of Desiralor. There is another boss that I remember not so fondly from one of my favorite raids, but at the same time, this is the boss that I think... it was the boss that made Ben hate Throne of Thunder, but I did Throne of Thunder without Ben in that raid. Hates Throne of Thunder. Yeah, I think it's been mentioned on the show before. He really does not like Throne of Thunder. The fact that
it's fair.
Yeah, the fact that there now is a tameable hunter pet in 8.2 from Boragon and Throne of Thunder, I don't think Ben's too too keen not on too thrilled. Going back to Throne of Thunder for that.
Bless.
But at any rate, do you remember Tordos, the turtle boss in Throne of Thunder?
Yes. Yep.
So when I was raiding back in Mists of Pandaria, I was raiding with Ben and Ginge from Epic Podcast. And that particular boss just, it felt like there was a lot of weird mob and beast RNG, and with the way that the turtle shells would drop and spin, the directions that they fly and everything like that. It felt like you had kind of that RNG element that was just stopping us from really getting progression downright. And I'd say that for me, Tordos was another one of those encounters that just felt for people raiding on a basic difficulty level, it felt like a fight like that was out of tune. What about just for you and kind of looking at the history of your time raiding, even since Firelands and Cataclysm, what would you say are like one of the top one or top two encounters that you felt like, man, this encounter just sucks?
Oh, that's actually a really good question. I can tell you the one that broke our guild last time. Because we kind of had a bit of a shattering and half of us went one way and the other half went the other. Mm. And I'm trying to sneakily go onto Wowhead because I completely forget.
If you describe the fight, I might figure it out.
Okay, so in Legion, in Tomb of Sargeras, the one where you've got the Titan Chicky that looks like Mother, and she's got the green orbs and the gold orbs.
The Maiden of Anguish?
Yeah,
Or Maiden of Virtue.
Yes, okay. So for me personally, I loved that fight, right? I thought that it was very cleverly done. It was a fight that was technically very simple. The premise of it was extremely basic. If you're green, you go with green, and if you're gold, you go with gold, and the two shall not touch. And that's essentially the fight, like, right, other than jumping into a pit and hoping that you land out and you know, fly away, and that'd be great. On Mythic, there were some other complexities added to that, and that's fine, but still the premise was extremely straightforward and basic. The difficulty came in that it had it purely relied on personal responsibility, and it made it very apparent very quickly who the weak points were within a team and who really relied on other people to help keep them up. Because, you know, not everybody's equal, and some people are not as good as others, and that's absolutely fine. Normally you can just heal through it or whatever. Somebody can pick up that gap. Mm-hmm. On that fight, that was absolutely impossible. If you could not deal with that color mechanic, or couldn't just stand in the right spot, it would kill the entire team. It wasn't just you would die, it would be a raid wipe. And that for us, that's what killed us last time. It genuinely killed us.
When one person failing to do something basically wipes the raid.
It doesn't seem fair. And also it puts a lot of pressure on those people as well. Like, because there's also the element of everybody's going to stuff up at some point anyway, right? And, you know, you're going to get your whole, oh, you silly duffer, what did you do? It just kind of makes you feel bad. Like, I hate being responsible for a wipe. I take it so badly. I go fully introspective and I'm like, oh, you're such an idiot, Cinder. What did you do? Everybody hates you now. It lasts for like 3 minutes and then I get over it because then I have to heal people and I've got the power again. It's okay. But yeah, that fight in particular. Yeah. And again, it's the ones that have raid wiping mechanics that I'm not a huge fan of. I'm okay with mechanics that will take everybody to like 3% health. I can deal with that because with some really strong healing, you can bring that back up and you can recover. But if you've got something that kills the whole raid, you know, you mix your colors, you have an icefall land on your team in the middle of a fog phase and you can't control it, and you're all dead, that's the stuff that's not for me. So
I would add to that from that raid, and it was made in the Vigilance, by the way. I took the time.
Oh, Vigilance.
Yeah, Vigilance, not Virtue, not Anguish, Vigilance. Made in Virtue's Karazhan. But Kill Jaden also, I think, because Kill Jaden with soaking up those explosions, even on normal difficulty. I remember the biggest thing about that fight, the latter phases were fine. That earlier phase when the explosions were falling, and I feel like our raid leaders had to say again and again and again, hey, soak the explosions.
Yeah. Soak the thing, guys. Just do it. Yeah. Yes, completely agree. That was another fight that we didn't do on Mythic. We just went, no, that's it. Just stopped. Like,
we're good. It's, heroic's fine.
Yeah, we're good. Yep, it's all good. It's fine. We got as far as we could, and that's okay. And look, I don't know. That's why we're, you know, we're not at that higher level, because we do go, you know, the integrity of our team and actually still liking each other at the end of this is way more important than killing a boss. So,
yes.
The other one back in Throne of Thunder, actually, that I was in a completely different team at the time, was Darumu on Heroic at the time. So, yes. You know, most difficult level.
The eye boss, for people who don't remember names.
Yeah, the eye boss with the maze. Yep. That relied on people having a computer able to visualize things in a particular way to be able to get through it.
Problems. Oh, my gosh. I remember people saying, I can't see the maze.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, but it's right there. It's surrounding you. How can you not see this? It's there. Yeah, I really struggled with that because I didn't have any issues. So I was just like, how can you not see it? What's wrong with you? And then I'd understand later on. But in Heroic, from memory, there was another mechanic where it had to do with colors and stuff. And so there were fog beasts that were hidden until you revealed them with a particular colored beam. Mm-hmm. And again, it was like this RNG of where the hell is that guy? And you're waiting for these colored beams to go around and around in a circle until they come across this beam. And you just, oh, that was a killer.
Sometimes they'd be revealed right away and you'd be fine. Other times it was just taking way too long.
Yep. 10 years later. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. So.
Two expansions and WoW later, and we still haven't revealed the fog beast.
Yes, still waiting. Yeah, but you know, it's still all good fun. And I think, I mean, I say this all the time. It is my mantra in WoW is that WoW is a game, and you're supposed to have fun in games. So if you're not having fun, don't do it. And I really applaud people who are able to recognize in themselves, I'm not having fun doing this particular thing. I'm going to take a step back and either do something else, or maybe even just not play WoW for a little while until the time is right for you, instead of staying there and being miserable and not enjoying what you're doing, and then making it miserable for other people around them, and then criticizing everything, and it just snowballs into this thing of sadness that was just boils down to you're just not having fun. So go do something that is fun.
Finding the fun in WoW is definitely important. You shouldn't just play WoW for the sake of playing WoW. If you feel like the grind is boring, if the grind isn't fun and stuff like that, and I mean for people. Kind of bringing us back to the first topic of the show, there are people who play Classic and who are enjoying Classic because they enjoy the grind, because for them, the fun is in the grind. And if that's the case, then awesome. Then I think you're going to have a fun time in Classic. But regardless of what version of WoW we're playing, whether it's Classic, BFA, or, you know, whatever, fun is always the top priority. If you aren't having fun doing something over and over again, whether it's because the difficulty level's too much or you just don't have the time that you normally have, don't be afraid to change things up and do things differently, even if that means maybe not playing what you've usually been playing.
Exactly. 100%. Exactly that.
Awesome. Well, Cinder, thank you very much again for being on the show. Thank
you so much for having me.
It's always awesome having you on. And actually, the odd thing is, I think we went an entire episode without you swearing. I'm actually mildly surprised.
I thought I said... It's funny you say that, because in the intro you were talking about being blessed by Thor with the balloons and stuff, so the whole... My study was filled with balloons with an early birthday present for me inside. My partner's argument was he wrapped my present in balloons, which was adorable. He did a reaction video that will never be shared. And I was watching it back and I was just like, wow, I'm a sailor. What the hell is coming out of your mouth, Cinder? The language. I was just like, I was blushing a little bit. I'm like, that's really bad, Cinder. You need to rein that in.
I promise on everything I hold dear, if you ever share this video with me, I will not share it on the internet, but the part of me wants to see this now.
All right. I'll find it. You can watch it, but no sharing.
Understood. I swear. No pun intended.
But yeah, look, I'm trying really hard now. I'll probably last another day, and then that's about it, because let's face it, I have a potty mouth. What can I say?
Well, if people want to find that potty mouth, where can they find you, social media and otherwise? I know you stream a lot of your rating content and such.
Yeah, so I'm on Twitter. I'm at Cinder_tweets. And on Twitch, I'm Cinder_streams. Because there's a pattern here. And yeah, I do swear a lot. I also sing my problems accidentally sometimes to Guild as well. I accidentally sang one to the whole raid team one time. I'd cut myself off and I can't sing it now because it's swearing, of course. But someone clipped it and I'm just like, yep, I'm kind of proud of that one. Anyway, so yeah, I do swear. I'm just giving that as a heads up in case people think I can be clean in a stream while I'm raiding. No. But yeah, so I stream raids and also stream classic stuff when I can and anything else that I'm doing. So yeah, feel free to come hang out. And Ray, thank you for having me, because I really miss all the podcasting stuff, and so it's lovely to have a chat with you and you know, laugh and have a good time with WoW. So thank you.
Thank you. It's always fun having you on the show. Folks, you can find me on Twitter at Rowow. That's R-H-O-W-O-W. You can find the show on Twitter at RestartCast. Let us know what you think. We're always curious to get your input about what you think about what we're talking about, and let us know who you'd like to see on the show sometimes. We have kind of a regular rotation, but I don't mind slipping in a guest every once in a while. Let me know who you want me to talk to on the show. You can find the show as part of the Frozen Fox Media Network at rollingrestart.frozenfoxmedia.com, and you can support this show and the other shows I do, Realm Maintenance and Hearth Casual, by going to patreon.com/realmpodcast and showing your support there. I think that's all the stuff that I need to mention. Cinder, once again, thank you for being on. It was a lot of fun. I can't wait to do it again.
Thank you. Thank you. Have a great day, everybody.
All right. Until next time, I've been Ro. She's been Cinder. We now return you to your regularly scheduled adventures in Azeroth. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Cheers, love. The cavalry's here.
It's the end of the show, and that means it's once again time for your weekly podcast roundup brought to you by the Realm Maintenance Podcast. The following is an insanely quick rundown of every show I'm aware of that covers a Blizzard franchise and produced an episode between May 27th and June 2nd of 2019. For General Blizzard Podcast, we have Three Goblins and Trenchcoat, All Things Azeroth, Battle.net News, Blizzard Watch, BlizzCon Podcast, Frozen Nerds, Geeks of Azeroth, Group Quest, The Incense, Jewels and Coffee Hour, Scrubs vs. the World, The Sundering, and The Training Dummies. Your World of Warcraft shows include the Azeroth Roundtable, The Converted, Control Alt Wild, Dark Moon Herald, Do Not Relent, Dungeon Fables, Frazzlecast, Girls Gone Wild, The Half-Hill Report, Lion's Pride Tavern, Lore Watch, Merely a Setback, Morally Gray, Pwncast, The Starting Zone, Tankcast, technically PvP, The Weekly Reset, Whispers of War, World of Warcast, WoW Challenges, WoW Talk, and WoWhead Weekly. The Classic Casual and Countdown to Classic covered WoW Classic. Inside the Tavern for Hearthstone, we have 1600 Dust, Arena Sensei, Blizzard Hearthstone, Brewmasters, Coin Concede, The Happy Hearthstone, Hearth Coach, Hero Power Cast, The Light Forge, Legend of the Innkeeper, Off Curve, Omnistone, This Week in Hearthstone, Tier 5 Podcast Films, Chosen, Walk to Work, and Well Met. Shattered Soulstone covered Diablo last week, Gankbush Squad, Into the Nexus, and Q for Fun took care of Heroes of the Storm. And finally, for Overwatch, we have the Blackwatch Report, Broverwatch, Casual Owl Fans, Foul Play, Heroes Never Die, High Noon, Mayhem Maniacs, Omnic Lab, On the Flank, Overwatch League Network, Owl by the Numbers, The Owl Recap, Pulse Bomb Ready, Push the Point, Ready Set Pwn, Tactical Crouch, Watch House, and Watch Point Radio. You can catch the weekly podcast roundup at the end of this show and during the Realm Maintenance Podcast. For links to all of these shows and more great Blizzard podcasting content, go to realm-maintenance.com.
This podcast is part of the Frozen Fox Media Network. Visit us at frozenfoxmedia.com for information about this and all the other content we offer. You can also find us on Twitter at Frozen Fox Media. Frozen Fox Media, cool content for the gaming community.